The other day, well, actually, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I was praying, and the Lord brought to mind John chapter 17. I want you to go ahead and turn over there. John chapter 17, verse 17. Many of you probably know that, could probably quote it, but I want you to go ahead and open, because I want to read this to you, and then kind of explain to you what he did after he pointed this verse out to me. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I think that statement right there, if we took it at its face value, to just take it for what it says, that alone should settle a whole lot of issues, questions, and so forth in the body of Christ. Because if God's word is truth, then it stands on its own. But if we don't accept God's word as being truth, then really, that calls into question Jesus himself. Well, for example, if we say that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and so forth, and this is the Word of God, and then Jesus says, "Thy Word is truth," then we're holding the Bible in our hands, and then we read something in Scripture, and we say, "Well, but I don't think that's what he really meant. We don't believe that. You know, we don't believe that's for today." Have we not made Jesus a liar? I mean, we would never say that outright, but in essence, really, that's what we're implying. Yeah, he said this, that God's word is truth, but, you know, this part over here isn't. It can't be that way. Well, I'm looking at this, I'm thinking about this, and I want to read something to you. In fact, this is one of the lessons from the upper room. There is a difference between spiritual, eternal truth and natural truth. Because there is such a thing as natural truth, and we know that. When he said that, I began thinking about it, and I'm praying, and he one after another, he gave me these, like, one or two sentence statements about the difference between spiritual truth and natural truth. And I'm going to read these to you. I don't have them numbered, but he said, "Natural truth is based on the current conditions of the natural world. Spiritual, eternal truth is based on the unchanging nature of God. Until you come to the place of understanding there's a difference between the two, there's a difference between natural truth and spiritual eternal truth, until you come to the place of understanding there is a difference, it's going to be very hard for you to successfully function as a Christian." You say, "Well, what do you mean successfully function?" Well, let's think for a moment. The Bible describes for us what life is supposed to be like as a Christian. The Bible does not at any point in time say that if you are living, truly, truly living as a Christian, that you will not have problems in life. That's nowhere to be found in Scripture. However, that is implied by a lot of preachers. "Well, if you were living right, you wouldn't have this stuff going on." Well, it depends on what that stuff is. In some cases, yeah, that's true. But in other cases, that's not true. Paul, was he not the example of a Christian? Well, look at all the stuff he went through. And it wasn't because he wasn't living correctly. It was just because God's never promised us that we would not encounter problems. However, he did say that his grace is sufficient. So we know, you know, that what is grace? Well, grace is something that is a part of spiritual eternal truth. So if God says his grace is sufficient, that means his grace is sufficient. At that point, we then have the responsibility to find out what is grace, how does grace work, how do we appropriate it into our lives? Because if it's a spiritual eternal truth, that means it works. So, again, he said, "Natural truth is based on the current conditions of the natural world. Spiritual, eternal truth is based on the unchanging nature of God. Here's another one. He said, natural truth is ever-changing relative to the shifts in the status of nature. Spiritual, eternal truth is ever-constant. You take a look at what's happened throughout history. Natural truth has changed. Climate conditions alter natural truth. And what you hear spoken about today is not often the same, not always the same thing you heard spoken of or what you read about years ago. We live in a society, a world, wherein oftentimes, as Christians, our belief system is imposed upon us by the natural world and natural truth. We are all too often quick to accept what the world tells us is a natural truth. Well, let me just throw one out to you, okay? And this will guarantee open a can of worms for debate among a lot of people. Maybe none of you here. This whole thing of global warming. You know, you can believe what you want about global warming. And don't come up after the service or send me emails and, well, you know, it's all the carbon emissions. No. Romans chapter 8 explains to you what is happening in this world. Paul wrote that creation itself, and I'm paraphrasing, creation itself is groaning under the strain of sin. And in another place in Scripture, it talks about, and I'm paraphrasing, that basically the earth is falling apart. Okay? That's not just global warming. It's also the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes. It's also the craziness in the weather patterns, all of this. So here's the kicker. Go ahead and shut down all carbon emission things. Factories, vehicles, go, shut them down. Just shut them all down. Shut them down. And you're still going to have the same problems in this world because the earth is falling apart. There are things happening in the planet now that years ago science did not recognize. And we're not here to get into all of this stuff, but the point that the Holy Spirit was making here is that natural truth is ever-changing relative to shifts in the status of nature. Spiritual eternal truth is ever-constant. He said, humans have the ability to alter certain elements of natural truth. But neither humans nor natural truth can alter spiritual eternal truth, and both are irrevocably subject to its laws. Humans and natural truth are subject to the laws governing spiritual eternal truth. Like it or not, we are. Try to change eternal destiny. You say, well, what's eternal destiny? Read the Bible. And you'll see, you can't do that. See, humans have the ability to alter certain elements of natural truth. Okay, how many of you remember reading in your history books, we were told, or not us, and not so much our generation, but in generations past, previous generation, really the previous generation, they were, you know, well, it's impossible to split the atom. Remember that? I know you don't remember, but remember reading about it. It's impossible to split the atom. It can happen. No way. And Einstein was saying, well, now, wait a second. I think it is possible. And he, you know, his theories and all this kind of stuff, and then scientists started working with his theories. Next thing you know, they're saying, well, you know, we believe we can split the atom. And then some scientists said, you really shouldn't try that. Because if you do split the atom, if you are successful in doing that, it's going to set off a chain reaction that cannot be stopped, and life on Earth will cease to exist. And they said, well, we're willing to take that chance. And so, you can read about it. They ran experiments under Soldier Field in Chicago, split the atom, and the world didn't cease to exist. But boy, did they come up with a boom. And they figured out, you know, we could take this and make a bomb out of it and just blow a lot of things up at once. And they did. Well, see, at one time, nobody believed such a thing was possible. But once it became possible, because of what humans did with science and all that, well, we then had to change what we knew and believed about natural law. However, both natural law and humans are subject to spiritual law, eternal spiritual truth. There's no way to get around that. That's just how it is. Here's another one. Natural truth is established by verifiable facts that are confirmed by some form of human observation. Spiritual eternal truth goes beyond the scope of human observation and must be accepted by faith. I'll read that again. Natural truth is established by verifiable facts that are confirmed by some form of human observation. I believe it when I see it. You can't split the atom. Boom. Guess you can. And they didn't even believe how that, they didn't even, when they were first working with this, coming up, they didn't even understand and realize how much radiation was going to be released by these bombs. And so they had, you know, soldiers standing within radiation distance of the test explosions and so forth. They didn't realize how long that the radiation would exist. How many of you have read the story? I forget what movie it was, but John Wayne and a bunch of other actors, and they were filming a movie near New Mexico, near where an atomic bomb had been tested. I mean, it was, you know, they thought plenty far away, but the thing is, so many of the people that were involved with making that movie developed cancer and died. Well, at the time, they really didn't think a lot about it until a few years later, and they realized, maybe they shouldn't have been that close to where we were testing this because of the radiation levels. Well, within the scope of natural truth, we establish truth, that truth, based upon human observation. The apple fell from the tree, hits Newton in the head. He says, gravity. It was there the whole time until it conked him on the head with an apple. Then all of a sudden he starts studying that which had always existed as far as natural law, but nobody spoke about it until after it had been researched through human observation. Then they decided, we can write books about this. Well, he said natural truth can be altered by the effects of time as it passes. Spiritual eternal truth can never be controlled by time. Our understanding of what happens in the world has changed as time has gone on, and we have realized that certain things are not as stable as what we thought. And I'm not going to stand here and try to go through a bunch of examples of all of this, but we just, in the course of life, how many of you remember years ago, back in the 70s, the big scare was another ice age? Any of you remember that? Well, you know, everybody's going to freeze. We're all going to die. Buy your wool coats. You know, world's going to be invaded by woolly mammoths and everything. It was global cooling. Well, people sat around, scratched their heads for a while and said, well, let's change it. You know, we've made all the money we can off the global cooling thing. Now let's make it global warming and see how much more we can make. And they were just as convinced that global cooling, the next ice age was around the corner. They were as convinced about that then as they are now about everybody's going to melt. Well, natural truth can be altered by the effects of time as it passes. Spiritual eternal truth can never be controlled by time. He also said natural truth is typically measured by the passing of time, having an established past, an existing present, and an anticipated future. Spiritual, natural truth has always been the same and will never change. Praise God. But I thought this one part was interesting where he said that, you know, natural truth is typically measured by this passing of time, having an established past, an existing present, and an anticipated future. Because we base our anticipation of what will happen on what we observe of what has happened and what is happening right now. Then we say, well, based on that, this should happen. Well, more than once, that's been proven untrue. Well, we thought it would be like this, and we thought such a... Not so with spiritual truth. Spiritual, eternal truth can never change. It is always a constant. Natural truth has consistently been rewritten in textbooks as conditions in the natural have changed. Spiritual, eternal truth has been recorded in one book and will never change. Hallelujah. That's pretty cool. And it's true. So many things have changed. Textbooks, you know, revisionist history, all these things that have taken place. And, you know, I can remember when I was a kid and they were really starting to push very hard, physics and algebra and advanced mathematics at the junior high. And they were just, you know, starting to introduce it a little bit into the elementary schools and so forth. And everybody referred to it as the new math. Well, the new math ain't so new anymore. And so we have rewritten the textbooks relative to what we've done with natural truth concerning mathematics. And so things change. But the Bible doesn't change, ever. It never changes. It's as true today as it was the moment it was written. It's as true today as before it was written. It is truth. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's established. It is eternal. It's not going to change. See, we read these verses and we say, "Glory to God, hallelujah." But do our lives reflect a belief that God's word does not change? Do our lives as believers, isn't that an interesting term? I am a believer. What do you believe in? I believe in the Bible. Well, do you live like it's true? Well, pretty much. Well, sure I do. Well, of course. I believe it the way we believe it in our church. That does not get it. You believe it the way God has said it, regardless of what your church has to say. It's not going to change. This is interesting. He said, natural truth presents conditions for human consideration that can never exist where eternal spiritual truth is in full operation. Now, I want to read this again to you, and I want you to think about what he said. Natural truth presents conditions for human consideration that can never exist where spiritual eternal truth is in full operation. And he said, I'm thinking about it, and then this example popped up. A broken arm. Natural truth will present to us the conditions of a broken arm, broken bone, for our consideration. What should we do with this broken arm? Well, go to the doctor, x-rays, put a cast on it, and then, 6 months later, take the cast off. But now think, where spiritual eternal law, truth, is the sole truth, there's no such thing as a broken arm. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Okay, how many broken arms are in heaven? Think now, how many broken arms, how many broken legs, how many people in heaven are wearing contact lenses or glasses? How many people in heaven are having hip replacements? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Spiritual eternal truth, where it controls everything, You'll find things there which do not exist here, and you'll find a lot of things here which do not exist there. You're never going to have a broken arm when it comes to spiritual, eternal truth. What does that say then about divine healing? Well, let me say it like this. I'm not going to dwell on it for a long time here tonight, but divine healing is where spiritual, eternal truth is enforced over natural truth. That's how blind eyes can be opened, because natural truth says blind from birth can't see. Natural truth today says, well, maybe we could do an eye transplant. Maybe. It might work. Spiritual eternal truth says, excuse me, what do you mean? What is blindness? There is no blindness here. It doesn't exist. Release me upon that natural event, and I can change it. I can change it permanently. I'll read it again. Natural truth presents conditions for human consideration that can never exist where spiritual eternal truth is in full operation. And we see in Scripture Jesus. And as we observe His life in Scripture, we see spiritual eternal truth in full operation. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Satan, it's not a matter of whether or not this can be done. What's important is me being obedient to the Father and accomplishing the task set before me. Jesus never said He couldn't. He just said man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. What is every word that proceeds forth? Truth. Spiritual, eternal truth. He went on to say, natural truth contains certain facts which are extremely constant in the natural. Spiritual eternal truth has the power to alter the facts of natural truth. Now I'll read that again and then I'll give you the examples he gave me. Natural truth contains certain facts which are extremely constant in the natural. Spiritual eternal truth has the power to alter the facts of natural truth. Here are the three examples. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, an iron axe head floats on water. That can't happen in natural truth. But spiritual eternal truth can change things around to where an iron axe head can float. In Matthew 14, 22 through 33, Jesus and Peter walk on water. Well, you can't just walk on water unless spiritual, eternal truth is being enforced over the facts of nature. And here's the third one. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Philip is instantly transported from Gaza to Azotus, a distance of roughly 30 miles. I mean, blank, he's gone. And blank, he's over there. He just, boom, 30 miles. That's good gas mileage. 30 miles. He's just gone. Baptizes the Ethiopian and brings the Ethiopian out of the water. And Philip's gone. And I don't know who would have been shocked the most. The Ethiopian? He was here just a minute ago. Or Philip? He was here just a minute ago. And what if he just suddenly materialized in the middle of a marketplace in front of a bunch of people? Just bloop, there he is. Where did you come from? Want to buy some pomegranates? So, natural truth contains certain facts which are extremely constant in the natural. But spiritual eternal truth has the power to alter the facts of natural truth. Do we live like we believe that? I sit back and look at myself and say, well, I'm not so sure I do. I'd like to think I do, but I'm not so sure I do as much as what I think. See, the thing about all this I'm reading to you, it's not going to change. There's nothing we can do about this. It is. You know, God said, I am. Well, natural spiritual truth, it is. That's just how it works. It doesn't change. He said, God's Word, the Bible, contains revelation of how spiritual, eternal truth operates. How many times have you read the Bible and there be incredible things happening, and you think, man, that's wild. You know, how can that happen? Man, it's like you read it, you believe it, but then on the inside there's something that's wondering, I mean, did that really happen like that? Did it really? I mean, the walls of Jericho, did they really fall down? Were those people really raised from the dead? Did these things really happen? I mean, Jesus, Peter, James, were they really, you know, transformed, glowing? I mean, did they see these things in Abraham? I mean, did he really in the burning bush with Moses? And was this, you know, you read all this stuff, and if you don't watch out, you can almost read it like a, you know, like a fairy tale. But you believe it, but there's something in the side saying, that's just too spectacular. But we don't want to admit that, not publicly. So what it is, it's almost like we dull our spiritual sense to the truth of all the incredible revealed in Scripture. But God's Word contains revelation of how spiritual eternal truth operates. Look, if spiritual eternal truth could cause an axe head to float, you know, 3,000 years ago, whenever it was, don't you think that could happen again? I personally believe we live by natural truth more than what we'd like to admit. How many times have things happened and we basically have thrown up our hands and said, nothing can be done? Nothing can happen. You know, that's it. It's over. Well, that's not true. Not when spiritual, eternal truth is enforced in circumstances. And what's incredible, Jesus would never seem to be intimidated by anything. Nothing. It's like he had a grasp of spiritual eternal truth and didn't hesitate at all to operate by that truth in the face of natural truth. Blind man, what do you want? I want my sight. Okay. Like no big deal. And that's where a lot of Christians come up with this, well, now that was Jesus. Hey, nobody could be like Jesus. But spiritual, well, let me just keep reading. You'll understand that's not true. God's Word, the Bible, contains revelation of how spiritual eternal truth operates. It is God's nature which has established spiritual eternal truth and which empowers and establishes His Word. Since He cannot change, His Word cannot change. Thus, whatever He has recorded in Scripture is a perpetual constant of spiritual eternal truth. It's always there. Continually. Nonstop. Always there. Spiritual natural truth is what can cause Mary to become pregnant with Jesus. Because God says, my power released can do this. Spiritual eternal truth is what caused Genesis chapters 1 and 2 to happen. Because God's Word is truth and it can't change. It's impossible. You know, Jesus said we're supposed to live by every word. Every word. We're supposed to act like everything in this book is for real. Can you believe it? That's the way it's supposed to be. How many times have we prayed for people? The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And we lay hands on people, we pray for them, and boy, we're doing our best to sound holy, aren't we? Mighty men of God, in the name of Jesus, woo-hoo, be healed. I mean, we're doing everything we can to impress ourselves and everybody else around, you know, when we pray. But on the inside, there's something that's like, well, I hope. I sure hope. I might look bad if it doesn't. I hope it works. Jesus wasn't even... He didn't care about looking good or looking bad. He just knew it was going to work. He says, look, we can deal with this thing right here, right now. Come on, let's go. We can deal with it. And they brought all these people to Jesus. He ministers according to spiritual, eternal truth. Man, people are getting healed. Devils are being cast out. And then he turns right around and says, you know what? If you believe in me, the works I do, you can do too. People want to belabor the whole thing. What are the greater works? Man, I'm still trying to figure out the works. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do the works. Spiritual, eternal truth is what established those works. He said, God is a spirit, and you are a spirit. If you are born again, then your spirit shares the same character, qualities, and essence as God, though you are not now and will never become deity. Spiritual, eternal truth has emanated from God. Since you now share in His life and nature, every aspect of spiritual, eternal truth applies to your life on earth. If applied, the laws of spiritual, eternal truth will change not only your circumstances, but will also change you. However, if you try to effect change in your circumstances and spiritual condition through natural truth that is rationalized through human reasoning, you will never see the changes that God has declared will and are supposed to happen. In other words, we have to get into the Bible and find out what is it that brings about an ever-increasing manifestation of spiritual eternal truth in my life. What will do that? And when I find out what will do it, then if I apply it, again, God's word is truth. Can't change, won't change. So when I go through here and I see things that impact me on the spiritual level, and they are things directly connected to spiritual eternal law or truth, and I do that, then the cause and effect, or the law of cause and effect, takes place. I do, and then the results happen. It can't not happen. It's impossible. Law of gravity. Jump off, fall. Unless you have some kind of James Bond jet pack on, you know, jump off, fall. Airplane. Jump out, fall. Unless you have a parachute. But even with the parachute, that just slows your descent. You're still going to fall. And sooner or later, the airplane runs out of fuel. It falls. Gravity wins. Well, he said, you have heard much teaching about the laws which govern and implement spiritual truth into your life. Praying in tongues, worship in the Spirit and with the understanding, fasting, and the Word of God, reading, confessing, and meditating. These are the four most dominant and impacting laws of spiritual truth which will affect change in your life. These laws are irrefutable and irreplaceable. They have been established by God and cannot be supplanted by anything else. There is nothing that will work in you like these laws. Through their application, you will implement and enforce spiritual and eternal truth in your life. This, in turn, will enable you to advance deeper into a spiritual walk with God. And it's amazing how that when I was raised in church, and I think back to what we were taught, you know, we were taught to read our Bible. We were taught to pray. I mean, we were never taught about, you know, meditating, confessing, and so forth, the Word, and assimilating the Word. And we definitely never heard anything about praying in tongues. Didn't even believe in tongues. Never heard anything about, you know, worship. We sang hymns in the church service, but never heard anything about worship, and basically never really heard anything about fasting. So then, what did I hear was going to cause me to... What was I taught? What gave me an idea that if I do this, then spiritual eternal truth and law will bring about change in my life? Well, for the one thing, I don't remember. Now, it's been a long time since those years. But I don't remember anything that made such an impression on me that to this day I remember it as something that was going to completely change my life. We were told to pray. We were told to read our Bibles. But then, it was kind of like, you leave it up to God. And when things are supposed to happen, well, you know, they'll happen. But that's not what I see. What I see in Scripture is God who has established this word as being truth. It's not going to change. It is spiritual, eternal truth. I can see examples of spiritual, eternal truth overriding natural truth all throughout Scripture. Therefore, if I don't do what I can do to enforce spiritual, eternal truth in my life, why should I expect anything to be different? Church attendance won't do this for you. We know we're supposed to attend church, but the kind of change that's being spoken of here, the simple act of walking in the door and sitting in the pew, that alone does not bring the change. Likewise, you know, the way you hear some preachers teach it, it's almost like you put money in the plate and that brings about change. Well, it doesn't. Spiritual eternal truth has been established in the Word of God. This is why, if we look at the Bible, look at it from a kind of a different perspective. Look at the Bible as God saying something like, spiritual eternal truth is spiritual and it's eternal. I'm a spirit. I'm going to give you a book that's going to give you an ongoing revelation from the first chapter to the last of the operation of spiritual eternal truth. A lot of things won't be so obvious, you know, when God gives the instructions, you know, so many cubits for the ark and all this other. You know, some of the things aren't as clear as far as spiritual eternal truth, but throughout this book, He has given to us the principles of spiritual eternal truth, things that aren't going to change. And it's amazing, if you just read in the book of Psalms, the kind of revelation that David received about all of this, the things that he spoke about what praise worship will do for you, about what the Word will do for you. And then when you read the life of Jesus in the four Gospels, you see spiritual eternal truth in operation. And he did everything he did because it's what God wanted him to do. We begin to see this also in the life of Paul and Peter and John. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. I mean, they had an understanding. It's like something clicked between the time that Jesus rose from the dead and when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, in between that time that Jesus rose from the dead, the time that they encountered this fellow, the man that was lame and all this, something clicked. And they realized, that guy we've just been with for the last 3.5 years, this guy operated at a level that was of God. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. So they just figured, since we are now like Him, we can be like Him and do like Him. And they did. Well, because we don't understand this, we come up with these doctrines in churches that say, well, you know, those things were back then to get the church started. It's not for today. We don't believe in that. You know, God's not doing it this way. God's changed. But He doesn't change. He is a constant forever. He even says so in His Word. He says, I'm God. I don't change. So if I believe the Bible, then what I do is I look at it and I say, well, God says He says He can't change. Therefore, He can't change. If He says His Word is settled, then His Word is settled. It's not going to change. That means if I do these things He's talking about, spiritual eternal truth begins to be enforced in me. See, it's got to be enforced and, you know, alive in me before I can start enforcing it on the conditions outside me. You know, you have prayer lines, and they're, you know, impartation lines. They want a healing anointing. Everybody line up. Everybody runs up, lines up, gets prayed for. And if it really worked, then you'd have, you know, the pyramid effect. I'm super anointed. Lay hands on you. I impart the anointing to you. And then you do it to the next down level. And then you do it to the next down. Before you know it, within a week, the whole body of Christ will be raising the dead, opening blind eyes, no, emptying hospitals, all that. But it doesn't happen. That's because the change has not been affected in us. And that's where it has to take place before it starts happening on the outside. Well, see, you start applying these truths, these laws that govern spiritual eternal truth, and then over time, everything that is in us that more lovingly embraces natural truth over spiritual eternal truth, the grip on the natural truth begins to be lessened. I'll tell you what's going to happen. And I share this from experience. The more you do this, the more you begin to see that all of these things in Scripture are indeed possible. You begin to perceive these things are real. You know, I've shared this story before. I read that the Robert Fulton, steam engine, yeah, steamboat. Well, he invented the steam engine, put it on a boat to prove. People said it could. Even his own sister said it wouldn't work. Well, the day came to prove the world wrong. Everybody gets on the boat. His sister saying this thing's going to sink. It's not going. It won't work. It's not going to work. This boat's going to fall apart. Blah blah blah. He fires it up. The boat takes off down the river. Well, it wasn't going very fast. She goes nuts. They'll never stop. They'll never get it stopped. Just like that, her perception of natural truth changed. What I'm saying is, we can do this, and as we do it, what we perceive as being real will begin to change. His sister perceived something different about the steam engine and boats. And then she realized it works. From that moment on, you couldn't convince her otherwise. She knew the steam engine was real. She knew it could power boats, and she knew they would float. Well, see, we get to that place the more that we begin to implement the laws, the spiritual laws which govern spiritual eternal truth, and the eyes of our understanding begin to be more and more enlightened, and we become more and more like Jesus to where we begin to see how that, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I know this will happen. And it goes beyond just, well, the Bible said so, therefore it's got to be true. It goes beyond that. Let me say it like this, without trying to sound blasphemous. I don't need the Bible to tell me it's true to know it's true. I know it's true because it's in me. And I hope that doesn't sound, gross error to anybody. What I'm saying is we get to the place to where we just know. We just know and we see it. We know it's going to, just like with Jesus, we know it's real. That's because spiritual eternal truth begins rising above natural truth. We begin to realize, yeah, an axe head can float. Well, sure, we can be transported. If I need to be someplace bad enough, by a certain time, God can pick me up and move me. Why don't you understand it? Why don't you believe it? Well, that's just a crazy talk there. No, that's for real. It happens. I mean, Paul, remember, he's on this island and picking up wood to put it in a fire. Remember that? And the snake, latched onto him. And it said that all the people there were watching. They expected him to start to swell up and, have the... Now, go back and read that story sometime. I forget what chapter of Acts it is. But that thing bit him, and they're watching this, and they're expecting him to start showing the effects of that bite very quickly. Many years ago, I did some research on that island and where that land, what were those people were, and all, and the snakes indigenous, the poisonous snakes indigenous to that region. And one of the snakes that is from that area, it's a viper that is one of the most poisonous snakes in the world. When it bites you, if you don't get it attended to very quickly, you could die. Well, that's why they thought he was going to just, you know, die. And here the snake's hanging off his arm. And he just goes to the fire and just shakes the thing off into the fire and goes about his business. He doesn't scream. He doesn't yell. You know, he didn't, you know, take out a knife and cut it and start sucking spit. No. He just goes about his business. And the people are like looking at each other. What the deal is this? He's supposed to be dead. Well, suddenly they begin to realize there's something going on here. This guy's a little different from the rest of us. That's because Paul was operating at a level of spiritual eternal truth to where he knew, this snake is not going to kill me. This snake can't kill me because it's not time for me to die. I've still got stuff to do for Jesus, so, you know, here, you die, snake. And revival broke out. Praise God. Now see, how many of us, not even that kind of a viper, what if it was just a little rattlesnake? What would your feelings be? You know, would you be calm about it? Probably not. And I'm not saying let's test the, you know. Paul wasn't looking for snakes, all right? One just happened upon him. There is a huge difference. We can get to that place to where spiritual, eternal truth, kingdom truth, is so real to us that we understand, yeah, we've got one foot in heaven and we got one foot down here on earth. We're bridging the gap for now. And we are able to do the things that the Bible says to do. But guys, it starts out, John 17:17. Thy word is truth. That's where it starts. And if we don't accept it at that level, at that beginning level, why in the world should we believe that anything else is going to take place for us? God has given us the manual for spiritual eternal truth. So that brings up the question, what manual are we living by? Well, praise God, I want to get to the place to where I may be living in a natural world full of natural truth, but I'm living more by spiritual eternal truth established by the Word of God. Amen. This kind of a message is a challenge to me too. Let's just be honest, okay? Without, you know, nodding your head, raising your head, hand, saying amen or anything like that. Let's just be honest and admit. But we're really not living our lives every day like we truly believe the Bible is true. We believe it. We don't call God a liar or anything like that. We believe it, but it's like we're just not as convinced as what we'd like to say we are. Well, see, that's got to change. You know, it's interesting how that, think about Halloween. Kids dress up, and some kids, they dress up with scary outfits and, you know, monster masks and all this. Well, how many of us are afraid of anything like that? It's no big deal. But a little kid, man, they'll be so scared, they'll scream and run and hide and everything. Even if the kid with the outfit on takes the mask off and says, it's okay, it's just me. And then the other little kid looks, and they're okay. But as soon as they put the mask back on, the little kid freaks out again. As if the kid doesn't understand. He knows somebody's behind that mask he can trust, but there's something about that mask he doesn't trust. Well, praise God, I know I can believe the Bible, but it's like you know, like the one fella. Yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. One of the most honest men ever in Scripture. So yes, Jesus, we believe. Now, God, help us with our unbelief. He says, no problem. Prayer, fasting, worship, word, We'll deal with the unbelief. Amen.